Tomorrah Perakei Mishnah Beis 5:2. In the previous Mishnah, we had two cases. The first case was a person had committed to bring an Ola. He needed to bring one. He had an animal which was going to give birth perhaps to a Bechor. And we said he could be clever and do a Harama and trick the system by consecrating the animal in utero, saying if it's a male, instead of being a Bechor, let it be an Ola, and he could bring it as Ola, and that works. Then the Mishnah had a new case. It didn't give any signpost when we're changing cases, and it went, according to the Bartanura, to talk about a chatas that was pregnant, and he said, if what's in there is a male, then I want it to be my Ola, and if it's a female, I want it to be my Shlamim. And the Mishnah says, even if both are born, then both take their consecrated status. Now here, we're going to continue on that kind of setup, where a person said, I have a pregnant animal, and I want to potentially use its offspring to fulfill my obligation to bring a korban. But again, without any signposting whatsoever, the Mishnah changes now to a third setup, a third case, according to the Bartanura. Here we are talking about, and this is really the Gemara as well, that we're talking about a chulin animal, an animal that has not been consecrated, so it's not a chatas anymore, it's just a regular animal, it's pregnant. This fellow has an obligation to bring not two korbanos, but simply just one, okay? So he has, let's say, for example, he has to bring, you know, one ola and or one shlamim, like could be like the previous case as well. But what happens is two males or two females come out. So he didn't want to bring, let's say, you know, he didn't want to bring two olos, if let's say males come out. He only wanted to bring one ola. So when he said what's in there, if what's in there is a male, then it should be an ola, he meant only one. He didn't mean two, because why do you want to give a second ola for nothing? That's the setup of the first part of our Mishnah. So therefore, what happens? Says the Mishnah, Yalda Shnei Zecharim. If, here's the case one more time, a person had a pregnant animal, the animal is chulin, he has an obligation to bring an ola. He says, if what's in there is a male, I want it to be an ola right now. The animal gives birth, and two males come out. Now, good, he has his ola, but the problem is he has two male animals here, and how can you know which one is his ola? One of them is a consecrated ola, and one remains chulin. We're going with the Bartanura again with this explanation of the Mishnah. The Bartanura does not explicitly say it's a suffix, but that's what's happening here, and that seems how the Bartanura must be learning as well, like Rashi. He's got a suffix in his hands. He has two animals. One is an ola, one isn't. He doesn't know which one it is. So what does he do? Says the Mishnah, Echad mehen yikrov ola. One he can bring is his ola. V'hasheni, but the second one, he couldn't. So what should he do? Yimacher l'chai ve'ola v'damav chulin. He should find someone to sell it to, and then he sells it, and then he will get in exchange money, and the money is chulin, it's not consecrated. So we'll just take a step back. What does this look like, and how is this working? He has two animals, newborns. They're now 8 days old. He wants to bring, they're two male newborn sheep. He wants to bring them as to the base of English. He only wants the one to be used as an ola. The other one, he essentially wants to, you know, take the value and put it in his pocket. The problem is he doesn't know which of the two animals is his ola and which remains unconsecrated. What will he do? He'll go to the base of English. He stands at the entrance there. He's looking for someone else who wants to bring an ola as well. He says, listen, guy, let's strike a deal. I have two animals here. One of them is chulin. One of them is an ola. I don't know which is which. One of them is my ola. One of them I want to sell to you. If you'll pay me for this chulin animal, whichever one of the two it is, I will give it to you as a ola, and then you'll have an ola to bring, and I'll give it to you at a discount. Let's just, for argument's sake, say. Okay, so he sells it to him for $50, which is a great discount on a newborn sheep, let's say. So the person buying it will say, fine, and they'll make a tenai. They'll say, whichever of these two animals is the one that wasn't consecrated from before, that's the one I'm buying. And now that's the one, whichever the two it is, says the purchaser, I'm consecrating as my ola. And then we'll have two animals. Both are now certainly consecrated as olos. We don't know which of the two animals belongs to which of the two bialim, the two owners, because we don't know which is the one that belonged to the original owner and he consecrated, and which one is the one he sold. But it doesn't matter. They can give now these two animals together to a Kohen. They're in the basement. They should say, listen, these are two animals. They're mixed up. We don't know which whose is whose, but anyways, offer them both on our behalfs, and whoever's it should get credit for it, and that will, yes, work. The Mishnah's point here about the money going to chulin, dam of the chulin, means since whichever the two animals wasn't the consecrated one, it's just a regular chulin, unconsecrated animal, a person's within his rights to sell it to somebody else, and the money that he receives for that purchase is just a regular sale. It's nothing to do with like a pidyon or redemption or something. And therefore, the money is totally chulin, and the seller, the original farmer who had the twins, could keep the money for himself. Since that's the case, since it's chulin, it's clearly not the case of the previous Mishnah, where we're talking about a korban which is pregnant, because there's no way you can have a pregnant korban and the offspring not be consecrated, right? It could have been said you could redirect the sanctity, but you can't have no sanctity, so therefore that must not be the case for Mishnah over here. Okay, that's the first case of this Mishnah. Now, Yalda, says the Mishnah further, Yalda shtei nekevos, if what comes out of the mommy is two female animals, and again, he said, if what's in there is a female fetus, I want it to be there, consecrated to be my shlamim. So achas ben tikra of shlamim, one of them could be his, shnia timacher timacher, l'chai v'shlamim, v'damei achulin. Exact same setup. He only had an obligation to one shlamim, so therefore he clearly didn't intend to consecrate both of them if they're two females that came out. Again, in contrast to the previous mishnah where he said if it's a male I want it to be an olin, if female I want it to be a shlamim. See, he wanted both. He had interest in both. Here he had no interest in getting two shlamim, so two olas. What do you want that for? And therefore, same exact din applies. One that there's two females here. One is the shlamim. One isn't. We don't know which one it is. Therefore, he'll take both of them to the base of Mikdash, and he finds one needs to bring a shlamim, and he makes the same deal, conditional deal, whichever one is the not sanctified one up till now, buy that one, consecrate that one, and we'll give them as a team, as a pair to the Kohanim, and the Kohanim will offer them, the two of them for the both of us, with the Kavanah, whoever should be, that's who should get the credit for it. And that works just fine. Now, and again, Deme Chulin means the person who sold it, like the Ola case, he can keep it for himself because he's selling a regular Chulin animal. Okay, now, the next case of the Mishnah, again, there's no signposting, but we're actually transitioning either back to what happened in the previous Mishnah or something altogether new, which is we have now a pregnant female Kodesh animal, okay? According to the Bartanura, the previous Mishnah, the second case, was a pregnant Chatas. We don't need to say that here. It could be just a pregnant whatever, a pregnant Shlamim, whatever it is. But again, the person attempts to define what the sanctity of the fetus should be. And again, this is going to be explicit. I'm going to say this is Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, who holds that until the animal is born, it doesn't get the status of its parent. And again, that's a machlokus between Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel and the Chachamim. And again, the halacha follows the Chachamim. So it's not la halacha. But in any case, in Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel's world, if you have a pregnant korban, you could specify what's in utero to have a different status than its mother. So that's the case here. A person said that. He said, for argument's sake, he said, if it's a male, let it be, my Ola. But then what comes out, what if it's neither male nor female? Yalda tumtum v'androgynous. Instead, what comes out is a tumtum. Again, that means that the newborn animal has like a membrane, a flap of skin, whatever it is, over its private parts. You can't see if it's a male or female. And an androgynous means that it's androgynous in English, same Greek word, that the animal is got both male and female parts. So it's not a male or a female necessarily. So now, there's a machlokus that we do not need to get into right now, which is what's the status of a tumtum, and which is the halacha, it's a suffix. It's a male or female, we just don't know which. Or in status of androgynous, which is even more complicated a discussion, if it's a male or female or both or neither. But in any case, all that's not relevant, really, for our mission's purposes. Because why? A tumtum and androgynous are not valid korbanos. They're like bali mumin. And there's no way a person, when he consecrated the animal utero, even if let's say that, for argument's sake, that the tumtum happens to be a male with a flap covering it, or it's an androgynous has the status of a halachic male as a zachar, which is their such a shita. It still doesn't matter because you can't bring these as korbanos. Okay, you can't consecrate a tumtum or androgynous as a korban. And therefore, certainly when he consecrated the animal in utero, he had in mind, implicitly, if it can't be brought as a korban because it's a tumtum or androgynous, I don't want to consecrate it. So therefore, now when the animal comes out, since he didn't have that in mind, it won't be consecrated. So says the Mishnah, if yalda tumtum androgynous, Rabban Shimon Gamliel omer, ein kedusha chala alehen. It doesn't have the status that he designated. Okay? Now this Mishnah is explicitly mentions Rabban Shimon Gamliel because he holds that the kedusha doesn't come as the animal develops in the body, like its mother. The status of the vlad, of the fetus, doesn't go after the mother until it's actually born. Okay, the halacha is like I said, not like the halacha is like the chachamim, And it's the status of the unborn fetus goes after the mother immediately, regardless of any future things you say. So that being the case, this mishnah would, again, not be l'halacha.